You better work. Turn to the left. Work. Turn to the right. Work. It's weird that RuPaul didn't have more hits.
I feel like more is the wrong word in that to use in that sentence.
Two hits? Surprising RuPaul didn't have two hits.
I'd go with a. I'd just go with the indefinite article.
A hits? That didn't make any sense, Dave. And welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 37. I'm Chuck Werner. With me, as always, is my co-host, Dave Stearns. Hey, hello, Dave.
Hello.
And this is Regret by New Order. And this song, there's not a lot of... I don't know, there's not a lot of... The word regret is not used in the song.
No, and I mean, the word ceremony is not used in ceremony. I don't recall the word blue or Monday in Blue, Monday. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And there's no bizarre love triangle in Bizarre Love Triangle. New Order is expressly attempting to make it hard for you to identify their songs.
Yeah, you have to actually learn, you know. It's kind of, they're the anti-Pixies in that respect. Where I remember before I knew the Pixies very well, like, you know, before I just knew the songs by heart.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would be listening to a Pixie song and be like, God damn it, what Pixie song is this? Then the chorus comes, you know, Debaser!
Yeah.
Debaser!
It's Debaser.
It's like, oh yeah. Or, you know, the chorus comes, you know,
it's Monkey Gone to Heaven.
Here comes your man. Just constantly.
It's here comes your man.
Gigantic.
I'm trying to think.
Wave of Mutilation.
Is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Find them online at foundation-institute.org.
Valoria.
You can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com.
Tame.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/imtryingtothink.
I bleed.
Or you can friend us on Facebook by being...
They say gouge away and gouge away
on Facebook. And then searching for I'm Trying to Think. That's pretty much the easiest way to do it.
Bone Machine?
You can write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. And we will pay attention to you.
Broken Face?
A lot of attention because we really like... fan mail. It's or non-fan mail. Mail of any kind.
We're kind of like old people in that way. We just like knowing someone cares. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let me get Regret out of the way here. And goodbye, Regret. All right. So, Dave.
Yeah.
New Order. What's going on there?
With New Order, generally?
With New Order, not just generally. I just
as
mean
a band?
The title thing.
The title
How do you feel about that? Do you feel better with the Pixies having songs that make sense? Or do you feel better with New Order kind of giving you... Because Bizarre Love Triangle can be interpreted, when you hear the lyrics, as a song about a bizarre love triangle or a song about crazy people. I mean, that song... I mean, New Order's lyrics are not too direct in some places.
I have no problem with that indirection thing where it's like, you know, the title suggests, you know... But it's like, you know, a painting. You know, you can have a painting and the title of the painting, you know... is, you know, the battle of blah, blah, blah. And the painting is, you know, the battle of blah, blah, blah. Or you can have a painting where, you know, the title is the battle of blah, blah, blah. And it's like a Rothko. You know, it's like it's like a line.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like smart, you know.
That's crazy.
And I think those are both valid. They're both good ways to go. I'm in favor of both of them.
In regret.
Although I gotta say, when you asked me, how does that make you feel? I thought you were spinning towards a Blue Monday joke.
How does it feel?
Tell me now. Yeah. How does it feel?
In Regret, he said, the lyrics kind of in the refrain are like, I would like a place I could call my own, have a conversation on the telephone, you know? And in another part, he says, just wait till tomorrow. I guess that's what they all say. I think the song should be called Despair. But then pretty much half of New Order's songs would have to be called Despair.
Yeah, that's pretty... I mean, they are a band
all
that
of the Smiths.
Yeah, they are a band that was formed out of the ashes of a different band, which ended when a guy hung himself. You can see why they're a morose band, you know? It makes sense.
Actually, it's kind of funny how everybody talks about the Smiths like they write these really sad songs all the time.
No.
But nah, like...
The Smiths is a different...
Ask is a song that's very happy. Mm-hmm. Certainly, There is a Light That Will Never Go Out, while having tragic portions... is about a positive message.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly a melancholic band.
I would say melancholic.
But no, like, sad despair, like, is not That's not the style.
See, the age difference between us, I don't know how it was growing up for you. Because, you know, that kind of thing was very fashionable when I was growing up. Like, I wasn't growing up when the Smiths music was new, but grunge was the, you know, the strong presence.
Right.
So the people who could not follow the mainstream because we were social outcasts and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you have to define yourself differently. And
right.
Music is, you know, how a young person
we
does
stretched
that.
A little back. We grabbed the Smiths. We, you know, in college, I went to a goth club. Well, you know, I wasn't really a goth, but I went to a goth club. That's kind of like the same thing, right?
It's the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's
I couldn't be a goth either because as much as goths are social outcasts, they have their own cliques. And I'm genetically predisposed to never be able to belong to a clique. So.
Just doesn't work for you?
It's just
groups of people?
It's like magnets, man. You can't. North and South poles attract.
It just doesn't work?
North and North. You get a push.
This is like, fine, I'll be in a group, but it better not be arbitrary.
Right. It's like the strong nuclear force. I can't push through.
It's like, I'm willing to be part of a group, but not if the group is only about a common appreciation for a certain type of dark wave music.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. That's somewhere in my DNA. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's mapped in the human genome or not, but it's in my DNA. That's
I don't know, for me
sure.
It was like musically in high school, it's like, yeah, I'm still, you know, a music nerd, but I didn't use music to put me in a group. Like, I just had weird musical tastes. Like, I think for, like, if you asked me who my two favorite bands in ninth grade were, it would be like, and this is kind of where I was at, I would say at that point, Fish and Nine Inch Nails.
Do you know what, in ninth grade, my two favorite bands would have been?
I don't.
I think it would have been, probably, like, They Might Be Giants and the Dead Milkmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ninth grade is kind of a Dead Milkmen year. That's when I first, that's when my friend who introduced me to weird stuff,
That's the official.
I feel like
Dead
freshman,
Milkman
yeah,
here.
14 years old is the right time to get into the Dead Milkman.
But by the time I was maybe in 10th or 11th grade, I was in that was like Erasure, New Order time for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. For me, it's like the beginning and throughout most of high school. It was like, you know, there's definitely a strong like kind of jam bandy thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You were one of those.
Yeah, although I never went to live shows.
You're one of those.
Yeah, I was like a jam band guy, except I didn't care that much about live shows. So I'm like a jam band guy who didn't understand the jam band thing.
He got the
which
wrong
was
message.
Great. Then
I'm a huge jam band guy who doesn't
like jams all that
doesn't
much.
Doesn't want to go to the jam band show. And I mean, like, jams are fine if I'm not paying attention to the music. Like, if I'm working and you know, my morning jacket wants to jam in the background, that's fine with me. But if I'm, like, trying to distract myself with music, that's not gonna do.
Not gonna fly?
No, I need some lyrics or something.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, I mean, you know, I can listen to the, extended version of Kashmir and be fine with that.
Yeah. How about Autobahn?
I'm you not know, anywhere near that. It's in Germany, so it's very hard for me to get there and drive around.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes, if you're asking me if I know whether that is a band or a song,
no,
will say no.
I'm saying the 25-minute version of Kraftwerk's Autobahn.
Oh. I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
It just goes.
You know, like, I had, like, two Kraftwerk albums in college that mm-hmm. I listened to, like, a lot. But
basically,
I don't
was
that
either
song.
Of them Autobahn?
No, I don't think so.
Then you didn't. Have no. The 25-minute version of
like,
Autobahn.
One had at least four different songs called some variation of Computer Love.
Okay, that would be, I actually have, that's one of the three Kraftwerk albums I have. That's, I think you're getting a little exaggerated because it's Computer World is the album.
Okay.
And I think it has two versions of Computer World and two versions of Computer Love.
It's possible.
And it also has It's More Fun to Compute.
There's a lot of computing.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember the other one, but yeah. And
was
I had,
it Trans-Europe Express?
It's, I don't, maybe. I don't remember, but that's my experience in life. I had one Portishead album forever. I've only ever had one. It has cowboys on it. That's all I know. I don't know what the name of the album is.
I don't know. I probably have it. because I have two Portishead albums, but they were given to me, so I haven't really listened to them.
I used to dig on the Portishead at one point. I mean, I still do. It's not like I hate all these bands now. It's just that I have to come back around to them, and that's going to take a while. I got a big musical library, buddy.
So much stuff, and I've listened to so little of it.
And, yeah, I mean, 20% of it is the stuff I listen to all the time, even if I listen to it in cycles. And then 80% of it is the stuff like I hear every once now every and 5 then, years. Yeah. That's okay, though. I think that's a way to go. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with us.
But actually, you were talking about one thing I want to swing back to, because this is something I was thinking about in the car, actually.
Do it.
Talking about
think about
music.
The car.
Yeah. Is, I was listening, you know, I was flipping through radio stations, because...
Why were you flipping through radio stations? You can tell your car to play songs, and it listens to you.
It's true.
I would never use the radio again.
But the reason I did is because, you know, I told it to call you, and we had that phone call.
Yeah, we did.
Because, you know, I still am enamored with the novelty of I have a little thing where I can push a button in my car and be like, call Chuck, and it does.
That's
so
really
I'm
awesome,
still
actually.
Just, like, really excited about that.
I would be, too.
Yeah, and it's like I told you before the show, it's like there's a distinct tipping point where I'm going to be, because this is, happens to all technology, especially communications technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, I love this, it's so cool, it's amazing. Oh, fuck this, it's annoying. That's, you know, I mean, email, cell phones, text messaging.
Yeah.
You know, that is how communication technology works.
See, I'm going to just bump in here.
Go for
it. And say the key to continual enjoyment of technology is to have, like, zero friends who ever want to talk to you.
Oh, that is
helpful.
See,
when I get a call on the cell phone, I'm usually like, oh, who is it? You know, if it's not, like, the special grandma ring, because then I know who it is. If it's, like, the ring of mystery, I'm like, oh.
This could be anybody.
It could be anyone. Anyone could want to talk to me. And it's nobody all the time. I mean, it's just, like, the wrong number or some bullshit. If I get a text message that isn't from my wife, I'm like, oh, somebody's texting me. And email is the same thing. If I get an email that isn't, the only reason I'm sick of email is because spammers hate WordPress. And I knew that going into committing to WordPress as my blog of choice, but...
Yeah, that was a good sentence, but I think it needed the word blog more.
Blogger of blog choice.
That was a Web 2.0 sentence. Nicely done.
Thank you. Oh, what a to-do to die today at a minute or two till two. A thing distinctly hard to say, but harder still to do. For the beat a tattoo at quarter to two. With a rat-a-tat-tat-a-tat-tat-a-tattoo. And the dragon will come when he hears the drum at a minute or two till two today, at a minute or two till two.
Is that like Lewis Carroll? What is that?
No, I actually don't know the source of it. It's something that stage people use to practice
oh, it's one of those,
diction
like a,
and enunciation.
But I got a, like, yeah. One of the, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, that's old school. That's a good one, too. It's spooky as fuck.
That is. That's
yeah,
like,
I love that
that's
shit.
Portentous.
Like,
it's really portentous.
The only thing spookier is, well, it's not spookier, perhaps, but the lobster quadrille is pretty spooky, which is a Lewis Carroll thing. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things. But we'll get back to more about that later.
All right.
We're not done with
the lobster
quadrille.
We're not
done with the lobster quadrille, we'll just say.
Okay, so anyhow, flipping back to, because I've got two, I'm two levels deep now.
Keep going.
We do this thing.
You are two dicks deep in it.
Yeah, we do this thing. We get in progressively layers and we need to come back out. So, okay, technology, communications technology.
Right.
Come back out of that.
Right.
The precise moment I know it's going to flip from novel to annoying is, oh, I can call people in my car. This is awesome. And then if someone calls me in my car, I'm just like, oh, God, I'm driving. What? Fuck you.
Somebody
that's
called
the exact
me
moment.
In my car, through my car, I would be so excited.
It might be exciting the first time, actually. I might still have that. Then I'm going to just be like, ugh.
Nobody calls me because nobody wants to listen to me any more than they already have to.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
That's pretty much my life, is like people are forced into situations with me where they have to listen. And so when the idea of listening to me comes up again in the future, they're like,
I'd rather
fuck
not.
That.
I'd rather not.
Oh my God, that guy, he just goes on.
All right, so flipping back up a level.
Flipping back up.
When I'm in the car.
Digression. After,
so anyhow, yeah. Sometimes I listen to the radio just because by the time that call was done,
yeah.
You know, it was like 2 minutes left, so it didn't seem worth, you know, plugging the thing in and hitting the button.
Oh, and hold on, interrupt.
I think we could teach people about regression, not regression.
Recursion?
Recursion programming just by having them listen to our show.
Yeah, we could post a diagram of it.
All right, go back to your topic.
Here's how loops work.
Either recursion in computer programming or how Magic the Gathering works. One or the other.
I'm not... Oh, yeah, with...
Because you do the interrupts, and then there's a queuing of spells, like instant, and then interrupt.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
and then you go backwards through it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I remember that. Okay. Anyhow. Yeah, cool is an interesting word to use there, but moving on.
It's cool if you're a nerd, man. It's cool if you're a nerd.
Yeah, I can't deny that.
And nerds are cool. They got the Geek Squad commercial now where they got this hot Geek Squad chick.
Oh, that's...
And the
that
kid picks the hot squeak.
That
it's a little creepy.
Creeps my shit out.
It's a little creepy because...
I'm not for it.
The kid's like, I'm going to use this Geek Squad person in ways that are not approved of in the Geek Squad handbook.
Yeah, that's I'm not for that commercial.
It's a little skeevy.
I don't, like, you know, run around wildly waving my, you know, feminism flag. But,
no.
But that's a commercial about owning women. It's kind of gross.
Well...
I'm not for it.
Yeah, I mean...
And just owning people, generally.
It's a commercial about owning people, generally. I don't think that it's inherently anti-feminist, because you could just as easily... You and I both know that you could just as easily cast that commercial with a girl picking a handsome guy, and it would be as easily understood by the culture.
It's true, but they didn't, and I would there's a reason they didn't.
I don't know if there's a reason they didn't. Well, there's a reason they didn't, probably because Best Buy and Geek Squad stuff is probably geared more towards young males than young females because of just predominant cultural
standards. Which I guess, you know, while I'm letting that flag fly, that's its own problem.
Well, if you want to go fix that one, you're welcome to shut off the microphone now, because you might as well spend every moment of your life from now till the day you die.
Yeah, working for equality in science and technology education.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, man. And, you know,
can't wait to watch you do that one.
God bless the people who are less lazy than me in doing that. Because it does need to be done.
Well,
it's worth doing.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. It's just...
I'm not getting off my ass. I'll admit that.
Well, it's the fight between the ideal that you want to be true in 20 years and what is, you know, doable now.
Yeah, because that is the problem with those. That's why those problems are so unsatisfying to work on. Because if you do it right and get the thing that will solve it, you won't find out for 10 years.
That's why I find it's far better to try and make differences in individual people's lives. I have a great story about this, actually. My brother-in-law is a teacher and a basketball coach.
Uh-huh.
And so, I guess last year or something, the first day of basketball practice, he has this kid who's... his family's not doing well. You know, his family's not... a low-income family. He's, you know, bad background, you know. Obviously not like an inner city kid or anything, because
they don't live
anywhere
boonies,
near a
right?
city. But you understand what I mean.
Outer boonies.
Right.
Outer boonies.
So
kind of like the inner city in its own way.
My brother-in-law...
It's just everything's further apart and the drug is different.
Yeah, the drugs is meth, yeah. the kid's misbehaving or whatever. The first day of practice, and my brother-in-law says to him, hey, you know, you can't be an asshole the rest of your life. Which is a fine thing to say, but that's probably not true, because you really can't.
No, if he really wants to double down on that...
you can.
He can well be an asshole for the rest of his life.
But anyways...
But is it going to work for him? I mean,
so
I get where your brother-in-law's going with it.
On the last day of practice, like, he comes in to my brother-in-law, and he has a report card with straight A's, and he's like, you know, it was really important to me what you said to me. And... My brother's like, was like, what'd I say to you? And he's like, do you remember what you said to me the first day of basketball practice? He's like, no, not really. And he said, you said you can't be an asshole the rest of your life. And so brother-in-law's like, well, okay, that's good.
I'll take it, yeah.
Yeah, you never know, like, the effect you're going to have on somebody. And that's why it's important to be, I think, important to be positive all the time. Because you think it's okay to, like, go off on somebody once or something. But you don't know, that might stick with them for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, there's the thing, it's like, if someone was in an environment, I'd guess they're basically, no one ever called him on his shit.
Yeah.
And someone called him on his shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it was somebody who apparently he wanted that guy's respect. Yeah, he wanted my brother-in-law's respect. And you know, sometimes you just don't know who wants your respect, who's looking for approval. So it's good to always just, this is the moral lesson of the week here. Uh-huh. Be a nice person.
Well,
you can't be an asshole for the rest of your life. I'm excluding it. You think you can, but I'm going to say you can't.
And after the I'm trying to think moral lesson of the week,
yeah.
I'm going to give what I think is the I'm trying to think social lesson of the week.
Go ahead.
Which is in terms of who's looking for your approval. Almost everybody.
Yeah,
almost everybody
much.
Wants everyone to like them.
Yep. Society is very
craven that way. But it's not a bad thing. Craven is probably an overly negative word, but, you know.
There aren't a lot of words that mean fearful that aren't negative.
Yeah.
For no good reason, really.
One of those words.
Because there's nothing wrong with being fearful as long as you're fearful of the right things. And not of, like, leaving the house without, turning off and on the lights 30 times.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of that, that's a problem. All right.
So as I was saying about the radio. Saying,
yes, the radio.
Oh, wow. So I'm listening, flipping through stations, and I get to, I'm forgetting, what's the X, the stupid modern rock station.
Yes, alternative rock.
Well, and...
DX. They played grunge back in the day.
Yeah, and, no, here's the thing, and they're playing...
Now they play new metal.
No, the new metal and the stuff that still sounds like sludgy grunge. Like, what blew my mind is I'm listening to, it's some sludgy, whatever, I'm just like, modern rock. It all sounds the same. Then I realized, no, wait, this is Bush. So this is from 1996, or like 1995, maybe 1998. And then I thought, what happened to rock, like radio rock, where, there was that new metal detour where it's like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But at least it sounded different. But now, you get, the Hinder and, the Nickelback and,
Hinder?
I'm just saying...
That's a band?
It is a band. I don't know what their songs are, though. I'm just saying words of bands who I've heard, and, then the DJ says their name, I guess that's that. But, Breaking Benjamin.
If you
I know that's a band, but I don't know what their thing is.
And who's... But what did Benjamin ever do?
But the point is, I thought the Bush song was just one of, how does modern rock still sound like grunge? That's how
I don't want to.
Why did we come back to that?
I don't want
to
spoil your day.
It blows my.
But have you heard pop country lately?
Does
it sound any different than Achy Breaky Heart?
Well, no, but that's different to me.
That's different
for me. Pop country has mostly
has no soul.
Yeah, well, there's that, and so does modern rock. I guess also has no soul.
Neither has soul. That is what you're really finding disgusting is when people who are producing music have no soul for their music, just singing cruddy songs.
But it should be a different cruddy song, is what I'm saying. Say what you
will
about
pop
music. Where are
they going to find new stuff?
Say what you will about pop music. It's like, Kesha sucks, but Kesha sucks in a different way than Britney Spears sucked in 1998.
Kesha sucks on her own terms. She's fiercely independent. Actually, it's really funny to read interviews with her about how she sucks. Because her sucking is really her whole thing. It's like, she just wants people to dance and have fun. So you don't really have to produce good music for that.
It's true.
Because if you produce good music, people kind of are going to think about it. They're going to critique it. They're going to look at you as an artist. And she doesn't want to be Lady
Gaga.
She's not for it. She doesn't want to be Lady Gaga. She wants to be Kesha.
I guess if she has an agenda of having no agenda and just pumping out what she makes,
she's not good for her,
I guess.
She's not writing and singing "Oh Superman." You know what I mean?
I don't actually.
You never heard of Superman?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's that's the most artsy of artsy songs ever. I'll play it for you sometime.
Okay,
we'll get down to "Oh Superman," but for now, we're gonna get down to. Oh, let's take ourselves a break.
Let's do it.
But before we do, Dave, I just want to get back to something we were talking about earlier. You know how I love digression and re-digression and whatnot. But earlier we were talking a little bit about the Lobster Quadrille, and it just so happens that there's some album that's mostly shitty of songs that are inspired by or what have you, the new Alice in Wonderland movie. And one of them happens to be the Lobster Quadrille performed by Franz Ferdinand.
Oh.
And you know, I like Franz Ferdinand. You like Franz Ferdinand. I'm stalling because the song isn't starting. But this stall is really interesting, and I'm kind of spinning it, taking it in a new direction. So, I just saw the new Alice in Wonderland movie, actually, last night. It's probably a year old, so I don't know how new it is. But, it's, you know, the new-ish. Johnny Depp one.
Yeah.
And it's a follow-up, you know, to the original story. It's like
right,
an advancement.
It puts it back. It's like a quest narrative.
It's like, yeah, it's like a sequel. It's good. And I'm just going to restart the program that I used to play music, and we'll see if we can go from there. But regardless...
Yeah, I'm going to say, unless this turns out to be compelling, this may be where the mighty axe of a post-production comes.
I saw the movie, I watched the whole thing, and honestly, I was thinking it was pretty good. There were a little couple cheesy parts where, I don't know if Tim Burton wrote it, but I was like, really? Ugh, this is kind of shitty. And at the end, the very end, there's a moment where I was just like, you're a terrible person, Tim Burton, and you should go to hell. But it only lasts about 5 to 10 seconds, so I didn't feel too bad. But at the end, it was also a little, there was a little cheesiness to it. But all in all, I don't think it was that bad. So here is the Lobster Quadrille as performed by Franz Ferdinand. We'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. See how eagerly the lobsters and the turtles all advance. They are waiting on the shingle. Will you come and join the dance? Oh, will you, won't you, won't you, will you, won't you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, won't you join the dance? You can really have no notion how delightful it will be when they take us up and throw us with the lobsters out to sea. But the snare replied too far, and gave a look askance. Said he thanked the whiting kindly, but he would not join the dance. Oh, would not, could not, would not, could not, would not join the dance. And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Werner, and this is Dave Stern. That was Lobster Quadrille, performed by Franz Ferdinand from the album Almost Alice. I highly recommend that you listen to, I think...
Two songs on that album,
and then throw the rest of the album away.
Throw it in the garbage?
See if you can cut those parts out of the CD. Anyway.
Man, physical media. That's old school.
Dave.
That's old. Yeah.
The Pirates. Let's talk about them again.
All right.
Pittsburgh Pirates Baseball Club, we've talked before.
I'm trying to think, last time we touched upon them, was that before this season? Or?
I think it might have been before this season. They are, this season, 36 wins, 67 losses, giving them
not so hot.
A 35% win percentage.
Not so hot.
Is that the worst? Yeah, that's... No, it's not quite the worst in baseball.
Baltimore is worse. But Pittsburgh might be a worse team.
Yeah, they're probably a worse team.
Because they don't have three of the best teams in their league, in their division, beating them like a drum to contribute to that record.
And they haven't lost, had losing seasons 17 years in a row.
Although they're close, I think. Baltimore is close. But now here's the advantage Baltimore has is Pittsburgh was good in the early 90s and then went to shit.
All right.
Whereas Baltimore was good in the late 90s then went to shit. So, Baltimore, I mean, you can check while I'm looking this up, but I would have to guess that Baltimore has a decade losing streak at least, but they're not quite at 17.
No,
they were good in 1998.
And the Pirates, they've got about, 59 games left? Is that what I said? Yeah, 59 games left, and probably not going to pull out that winning season this year.
No. I mean, I don't know how much you know about the kind of streaks and runs that baseball teams go on, but
I know enough to know
they're not going
to
lose less than 15 games for the rest of the season.
Well,
that is simply not going to happen.
The Pirates' losing streak will turn 18 this year, so it will be able to vote.
Yeah.
It'll be able to buy pornography.
Mm-hmm.
It will be able to join the army. It'll be going off to college probably in the fall. You gotta think.
Oh, yeah.
There are teenagers right now, Dave, who are picking up their driver's license.
Who've never seen a winning Pirates season.
Never seen a winning, like, a winning team, basically, for the Pirates. I mean, they're, you know, it's just, I think there are kids who are learning to talk who have never seen the Pirates win, like, 7 out of 10 games.
Probably not, just because even shitty, shitty baseball teams usually rip off a good stretch like that. Like, I think actually the beginning of this season, they, like...
I think they won, like, the first game.
Yeah, but I think, like, cause just because a baseball season is so long, like, even...
Statistically,
the most shit team is gonna, at some point, win, like, 7 of their last 10 games.
Alright, well, regardless, they are really bad. And last time you tried to give us some advice on how to fix the team, did they follow your advice at all?
They have, but it's kind of a long-term fix.
I see.
Because here's the thing about the Pirates right now is basically the problem with the Pirates traditionally has been that they were terrible and had a terrible farm system.
All right.
So basically, they're terrible. They drafted terribly. So they had no prospects coming up.
Okay, to answer a question that you had previously, the Baltimore Orioles' last winning season was in 1997.
Yeah, they were awesome in 97. So they're bad.
12 years. They're bad.
But they're not. They got a couple years to go.
They've got a long way to go to catch up to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So basically, in your estimation, next year, probably not going to be the first year for a long season.
No, no. Because, basically, they need... What they've done is, they've been... Basically, anyone who's not really young, they've just been trading the shit out of.
Okay.
For prospects. That's right. Because, basically, what they need is... Because, basically, when you have nothing, you need a lot of good players.
All right. This is what's important to me.
Yeah.
Will we hit 20?
Is it going to hit 20?
Because, Dave, that would really be a milestone for me.
Uh-huh.
Because if they hit 20... Right. Let me put it this way. They've hit 18. If I can... Or they've hit 17. If I could put it in perspective for you, the Pirates have not had a winning season in the last half of my life.
Right.
I want us to go as far as we can go.
Well, at this point, you're just accustomed to it. It would feel strange to have
winning
Pirates.
No, I just love it, because I don't really like baseball that much. So I'm not going to follow them if they're winning or if they're doing mediocre. But if they keep losing, I am going to be more and more excited for them, to the point where I would consider buying Pirates joke outfits at some point. Like, if they hit 20,
could buy like a jersey.
How awesome would it be for me to have a jersey that said like 20, and then under it said losing seasons?
Oh man, like, actually, you could probably do that. Just get like a custom jersey. It'd be like where the player name goes. It'd just be losing seasons 20,
or like losers 20. Yeah, when they break this,
that'd be classy.
I pledge to you, when they break the record, or when they break their streak, I will seriously consider getting a Pirates jersey with losers and then that number. Whether it's 20, 25, 80, I mean...
Yeah, just milestones, impressive milestones. Well, I'll give you my prognostication, I think.
All right.
And here's what you're going to have to look for. It's basically... Because the Pirates, they've got some promising young players right now. Like, there are some players who... One, you know, there's Andrew McCutchen in center field, who's already just a really good leadoff hitter, center fielder, like, very good young player.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some guys who could, you know, who have potential, who are, you know, they're still, like, rookies this year, working on it, but, like, Pedro Alvarez, Jose Tabata, who could be part of the next good Pirates team.
Mm.
But what you're going to need to look at is pitching. Because right now, like... I don't know, they have one guy who might be coming up who might be a good pitcher. I think Brad Lincoln is the guy. You know, he might be promising. But basically, in terms of real just pitching talent, the Pirates have got, like, Jack and shit, is the thing. They've just got nothing.
If they actually had guys named Jack and shit.
And those guys could really throw the ball.
And Jack, no, they were terrible. I wouldn't care. But if Jack were the, you know, the starter, and then shit were the closer, I would go to that game.
Mm-hmm. That would be kind of fun. Be like the next, like, just immortalized in song and poetry, like Tinkers to Evers to Chance.
Let's go into... Oh, let's go... Let's keep going with our... I'm trying to think sports minute to the next topic, though.
But hold on. Let me just... Let me close it out, then.
All right, give me more Pirates.
I was unfinished. It's just... Basically, what you're going to want to look for is... If suddenly there's a young starter and, you know, you're listening to the radio or you pick up, the Trib Sports page or, you know, whatever it is, you know, Post-Gazette, and there's a young starter who, you know, his ERA is impressive or sports columnists are excited about him or, you know, something like that. Yeah, I know you're not going to pay enough attention to notice to find that this independently, but, you know, you'd be able to pick it out from the air around you, I think. Uh-huh. You know, you're aware of these things.
Okay.
You know, your wife watches way too much SportsCenter, so by extension, you watch some SportsCenter.
Well, she watches...
Pardon the Interruption.
Pardon the Interruption and Mike and Mike.
Yeah, so if someone's, you know, starts talking about, you know, a young starter who's, you know, doing really well and impressively and is on the Pirates.
Yeah.
Or two young starters, they start building a rotation, you should start being worried about the losing streak.
Uh-oh.
As long as they're throwing out garbage that has like a 450 to 6 ERA, you're gold.
You and I
you're
both
good
know,
to
Dave,
go.
That if they hit 100 games with a winning record, it will be the biggest story in baseball.
Certainly be the biggest story in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It might even bump, like, if they start getting into, you know, late August, and they have a shot at a winning record, that will sometimes be above Steelers training camp in the sports page.
Yeah, occasionally.
Sometimes. That's how big it's going to be.
But you know if there's, like, 5 games left, right? And the Pirates have a winning record, but it's, like, close, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's the biggest story in baseball.
The pressure cooker.
Because, I mean... That's, like, one of the biggest stories in sports is, I mean, the longest professional losing streak in history being finally broken. I think that would be a big story.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the longest losing streak in professional sports, Brett Favre, do you think he's going to play again this year?
Don't know, don't care. Yes. I mean, yes, but I don't care about the drama.
You love the drama.
Have we done a Brett Favre retirement podcast section already? I mean, we've been doing this podcast for over a year, so I feel like we might have had the
opportunity. I'm sure that he almost retired in the time that we've been doing the podcast. I don't think we've talked about it, though.
You know, in fairness, he may have almost retired and unretired, and there may have been an ESPN special in the time we've been doing this podcast.
It's true.
Like, literally.
Literally this in, the, podcast, last, in yeah. the last half hour or so. He could, yeah. All right. T.O. and Chad Johnson... together on the Bengals.
At last.
How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. I mean, basically, when you have any receiving core in which the sort of level-headed elder statesman of that core changed his name to hit the Spanish version of his jersey number, you know, you're gold, I think.
I'm just asking. I'm just...
Because here's the difference.
I'm asking anybody out
it's
there.
It's very interesting.
Anybody out there, put an over-under on the total fines paid between those two. By the end of the year, I'm interested in that. In
I don't
getting
know,
in on that action.
Because here's the thing: they have different styles, from what I understand.
Which of them do you
from
think
will
get fined more?
Here's the thing.
All right,
I'm going to say Ocho Cinco, and I'll tell you why.
Uh huh.
Because basically, they're both fucking crazy, and they're both prima donnas, but they've got different styles. Is the thing. The Ocho Cinco thing is going to be fun and do crazy Twitter stunts and do his crazy end zone stunts, which get him fined.
Yes.
But then he's a happy-go-lucky guy. Like, I feel like I could, like, high-five Chad Ochocinco, you know? And it would be fun. You know what I mean?
He has fun juice on the inside of his hand, and it would be like, woo, fun juice!
You should never use the phrase fun juice again, but I get... But basically...
Bum-bum-bum-bum.
Basically. Whereas T.O., like... He'll do some on-the-field stuff. You know, he did the Sharpie thing back and they got fined for that.
Yeah.
But his thing is less on-the-field, you know, antics. and more sabotaging his quarterbacks. That's T.O.'s thing. He didn't do it last year in Buffalo, but that's because I think Buffalo doesn't have quarterbacks. So he, like, I think there's a point where T.O.'s just like, you know, I could sort of undermine the career of Trent Edwards and Ryan Fitzpatrick, but what's the point?
What? How would, yeah, how would anybody know that I had done it?
Exactly.
So I
think he's going to get, Ocho Cinco will definitely get fined more. But if you want me to bet on the over-under on who's going to piss Carson Palmer off more and, you know, get into a media pissing contest with Carson Palmer, that's T.O.
All right. But let's say Chad Johnson does stunt A and gets fine B, right?
Yeah.
Then he gets amount of attention C for getting fine B, right?
You think they might get into a fine
T.O. requires amount of attention C plus one to continue. So, he could go for action, you know, S that would get him fine T, where fine T is greater than fine B, and thus attention U is greater than attention C.
That's some that's complicated calculus, mostly just because there's a lot of letters.
But
I don't know. Because I think if you're trying to figure out, honestly,
I didn't say integrate.
Here's the thing, though.
I didn't say
if you're
curve.
Trying to figure out how a NFL wide receiver needs attention.
I wasn't interested in slopes.
I'm thinking you might need to bust out some calculus.
But to I'm be just saying, T.O. might be like, oh, yeah, that was a great thing. I'm going to do something bigger. Like, let's say Chad Ochocinco does a thing in the end zone where he makes out with the football. T.O. is going to whip it out and rub it on the football. Then Chad Ochocinco
cut a hole in the football with a switchblade.
He's going to do two footballs.
And he's just going to
intercourse
that football? Is that where this is going?
I'm saying it's going to get bigger and bigger.
Okay, here's the thought, though. Here's another thought.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the angle you're not considering. Is these guys are going to, you know, I'm going to shorten it. I'm just going to say one word. Collaboration. That's what you're not considering.
You think that'll actually happen between these two?
Assuredly.
I think Ochocinco might be on board for collaboration. But I think T.O. in the end is
less
only
of a team
interested
player.
In T.O., yeah. I mean, how many teams has he gone through just crushing souls left and right? I think this is number 4, isn't it?
5. Niners,
started,
Eagles,
yeah.
Cowboys, Bills, and now he's on to the Bengals.
Oh, yeah, that's team number 5, but he didn't really tear through the Bills, so I was just kind of leaving that alone.
There's nothing to crush.
Yeah, I mean, when he got there, it was a wasteland. There wasn't really much to
basically,
do.
Basically, the only thing he could have done to make the Bills situation worse is move the team to Toronto. But he doesn't quite have that power. That's when Ralph Wilson either dies and some soulless person buys them, or if Ralph Wilson decides to be soulless and move them to Toronto.
Well, what would moving them to Toronto accomplish?
Well, bigger market.
Okay. Do they not have Toronto as part of their...
Part of the NFL. They might have it as part of their TV market.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But remember, the thing is, it's about more than, you know, one, it's about passion, it's about generating sales, like, because, you know, the NFL is pretty socialist, you know, as a sports network.
There's a lot of poor kids in Africa or Haiti or Asia who think that the Buffalo Bills
are the greatest.
The greatest team in football.
It's true, but
because they won all those Super Bowls.
Yeah. But for the NFL, you know, is the most Marxist and socialist of all of our sports leagues.
Yeah, and also the most successful, which shows you something about socialism, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see those Tea Party guys hating football.
Right. Profit sharing works.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, but anyhow. But even in that context, there are still big market and small market football
teams.
Yeah,
you can still make a lot of money.
Yeah, based on market size.
Which, in difference to your co-conspirators.
Yeah, and Toronto is a bigger market than Buffalo.
And
you know,
I don't
want to
say anything about politics, Dave, but maybe the combination of profit sharing but an impetus to increase your profit is helpful to everybody. Just saying, Dave.
Hush. Anyhow, this is a sports minute, my friend. Don't be Keith Olbermann and go from sports to politics. Olbermann. Oh, because then I don't like you.
And then I'm like...
Oh, you smug fucking bastard.
Well, I don't like you either, sir.
To be fair... Sir, and then you take off your glasses like that's a thing
to be
people
fair,
do.
To be fair, he seems very smug, but he makes fun of himself a lot. He's very self... what do you want to call it? Defacing.
I mean, so Craig Kilborn is also very self-aware about being Craig Kilborn. Doesn't mean he's not the smuggest man on earth, and that's why he doesn't have a career anymore.
He's still kind of funny.
He's still funny.
He's no Jon Stewart, but...
No.
I mean, I do miss, what was it, 5 questions or whatever that they used to do on the Daily Show?
Don't remember.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, anyhow... Yeah, so that's kind of something that people have been talking about for years with the Bills is, you know, are they going to move to Toronto, you know. Then, actually, I think Toronto would then be the only town in the world with both an NFL and CFL franchise.
It would be on account of there's no other football teams in Canada of the NFL.
Yep. Oh, man. Argonauts.
That's the name of their CFL team?
The Toronto Argonauts, I believe.
Is there a Jason to lead them?
I don't know. You know, look that up. Let's make our CFL.
That's
you know?
Okay.
No, here's what we got to do. I'm just saying, look it up, and we're going to close out our sports segment, because I think we got to move on, but we're going to close it with our CFL picks for this year.
Oh, good. Well, first, we're going to look at the Toronto Argonauts roster.
We're going to look for a Jason.
If there's a Jason.
See if there's a Hercules who leaves mid-season.
Oh, there's Jason Pottinger.
He's a linebacker.
He's a linebacker. He's from McMaster, I guess that's where
that's
he
a school. Yeah. He's a non-import.
So there is a Jason and the Argonauts.
Is
so
there a Hercules?
Good. Is there a Hercules? There is not. Surprisingly. Perhaps. All right, let's look CFL.
All right, CFL getting ready
teams.
To make our CFL picks.
I'm going to find like a CFL network. Our teams. There we go. All right, Dave, there you go. They're the British Columbia Lions, the Edmonton Eskimos, the Calgary Stampeders. These sound like joke names.
They sound great, though.
Made joke names.
About what this Canadian Football League would be.
Because I could tell you the Edmonton Eskimos would be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Because that's like their own kind of Cleveland Indians, Redskins kind of thing going
on. Yeah, they should... They should call them the Edmonton First Nations.
No, the Edmonton Inuit. I think that's their name for themselves.
No, I think the Eskimo, like, I think the Inuit are a specific tribe. I think the politically correct thing for, you know, north of the border natives is the First Nations.
I like that better than our. I like that better than Native Americans.
Yeah, First Nations sound badass.
That sounds like, they're going to kick you in the face. All right. The
Saskatchewan
Rough Riders, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I'm going to have to go to Hamilton and inform them that tigers are already cats.
The Wolf Dogs.
The Toronto Argonauts and the Montreal Alouettes, which is so bad.
Alouette.
So it's the Montreal Birds.
That's a French thing I kind of remember, but obviously not really, because I never took French.
Yeah.
So,
obviously.
Who's your pick
year? My pick this year has got to be the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Saskatchewan, possibly Saskatoon. I'm not sure.
Saskatchewan.
You're going with the Rough Riders.
Rough Riders.
Year. All right. I am going with, I think it's the Alouettes here.
All right, well, let's see. Let's just compare for our own little edification. Maybe what their records were last year.
Yeah, let's look at some standings,
If we can find standings. Let's see. I don't know. I don't know how to find that. This is all crazy stuff and not very user-friendly Canadian Football League. Well, let's just say they all lose, because they're not in the NFL.
Okay, so you got Saskatchewan. I got the Alouettes. Alouettes. And, you know, we'll check back in a couple months and update our race for the Grey Cup.
Is it seriously called the Grey Cup?
It's the Grey Cup.
That is terrible. All right, Dave, do you want to move on to another topic, or do you want to take a short break, maybe come back, finish out the show?
I'm going to say short break.
All right. Well, we're going to do a short break, and then we're going to come back with more of I'm Trying to Think.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do.
And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 37. I'm Chuck Werner. This is Dave Stern. And that guy there is Jose Feliciano.
Wait, which guy?
The guy behind us. You didn't wonder who that was?
No, I just...
Jose Feliciano.
He's the master of some sort of... He's a music gentleman, right?
He's some sort of music gentleman. You could ask him.
I choose not to.
Yeah, let's not acknowledge him as if he weren't there. And that was Common People, sung by William Shatner, arranged by Ben Folds.
Yep. Joe Jackson totally pops in later in that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's the guy who
The
singing part.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that, but you're right. If you could have William Shatner sing, like, any song, what song would you have him sing? Let's say you're a music producer. You're like, William Shatner time, you know, as every music producer gets to the point in their career where they're like, okay, I need to record a song sung by William Shatner. Which song would it be?
Ooh.
I already have my answer. We actually referenced it earlier in the show. Monkey Gone to Heaven.
Ah, that'd be pretty solid.
This Monkey Gone to Heaven.
Just a sort of soothing spoken word version.
I could go for it. Like, a lot of Pixie songs would make good ones. I believe in Mr. Greaves.
That's strong. Yeah.
Anything, any ideas pop in your
broken
head
face. If I had to go with the Pixie songs. He tried to molest me in the parking lot. Bought me a soda. Tried to molest me in the parking lot.
All right, then. Is that your choice, then? You're going to go
with
that song?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Broken Face. Stick with the Pixies.
We weren't Pixies while then. All right, that's fine. All right, well, Dave, do you have anything else to say to our beloved fans before we go out?
I don't know. I mean, we beloved them. They just need to know we beloved them.
You all need to know that we beloved you. And, yeah.
Oh, man, we're being witty like Cole Porter.
Are we?
Sure.
And
That seems approximately as witty as DeLovely.
No.
Don't get me wrong. Cole Porter, incredibly witty songwriter, vastly wittier, you know, I'm going to even say than us most of the time, but DeLovely is not his most pungent work of wit.
I would like to say that they should write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. Give us the nice hello.
Yeah.
We like a nice hello. All right. Well, in that case, Dave's kind of looking off into space. I know he's anxiously awaiting a chance to go to the Apple store and price out some new expensive Steve Jobs masturbatory device.
Yeah. Because here's the thing about how I buy computers. Is uh-huh. Like, because I know what you do, and I'm not against what you do. It's a perfectly good way to do computers.
Oh, yeah, I see.
It's like, I've noticed you have a lot of new, like, you get a lot of new computers, you get them often, like, you get good deals, you get good computers.
Yeah, I get above middle, you know, not top of the line, like the stuff that's starting to get price reduced because the new wave is coming in, you know. So I'll get like second or third wave computers, pay like a couple $100 for them.
You get a good deal.
And a couple years later, I get a new one.
Yeah, you know? But I've noticed, like, I don't know, in the past couple years, I know you've had a bunch of computers. Whereas me, like, I have one computer. I sink a shit ton of money into it.
Yeah.
And then I just ride that thing as long as I can. Like, in terms of computers,
I'm just worried about catastrophic failure, I think. Uh-huh. You know, if anything bad happens, I've got backups.
Right, right. Because for me, it's like, you know, I owned a computer for like 4 years, high school, owned one for like 5 years through kind of late college and a little bit after that. Got this one for 3 years, which is, you know, it's a little early for me to get a new one, but it's a laptop, so, you know.
Yeah.
So basically, the whole Apple thing works really well in the paradigm of, I'm just going to buy one computer and dump a lot of cash into it. Like, that fits really nicely into that.
And you like that every time somebody swipes a credit card at an iPhone store, it sets off a device that makes Steve Jobs' crotch tingle.
Yeah, that's nice for him.
That's good for him.
That's nice for him.
All right.
You know, he had a health scare. You know, he needs
tingles.
Yeah.
All right, then, on that note, I think we'll wrap up, not wipe up.
Well you might want to wipe up. Yeah, you might want to wipe up.
Steve Jobs might need to wipe up, but...
Hi-yo!
Hi-yo! All right, we're going to close off this episode of, I'm trying to think, which is number 37 for those of you collectors out there.
Limited
we'll
edition.
We'll be back next week with... Not next week. 2 weeks with episode 38, because that's how we roll. 38's not an interesting number. 37's not an interesting number. But we are approaching episode 40, Dave.
The big 4-0.
And you know what comes after episode 40?
A banging podcast midlife crisis?
Yeah, kind of. But not directly after episode 40.
That's when, like, our... Oh, so is that, like, if we finally pull the trigger on these mic upgrades, what you're talking about, is that, like, our sports car? It's our sports car comb over.
Yeah, we'll like get an actual tech upgrade for this show. That'll be crazy. To be fair, this computer is an upgrade from the computer we used previously.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to upgrade your computer.
Although I'm probably going to get a big wangin' desktop. So this is still probably going to be the recording machine.
To the studio and the wangin' desktop. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying that after 40 comes 50. Can you imagine when we hit 50 and we're like, we've done 50 episodes?
Man, can you imagine when we're 50 years old?
And still doing episodes?
Oh, man.
That would be like through episode like 600 or something. Damn. Yeah, through like a brain link that we have because the technology's so advanced.
Yeah.
Not really, though.
No, it'll probably just be
cause...
microphones.
Yeah,
I CDs think microphones will be tinier. Oh, some sort of... Wait, are you proposing some sort of miniature disc?
Perhaps.
What?
We call it a mini disc for short.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah,
that's nonsense. That's
it would be re-recordable. Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just saying. That's
Shut
what I see.
Shut your mouth.
That's what I see for the future. But I'm just saying, we'll be episode 50. Is that like our golden? Is it silver? What the hell is that?
Hold on, let me think. You know, make new friends, keep the old.
I don't
one
think
is
that's
silver,
how that works.
The others go. Yeah, it's 50.
Something borrowed, something blue, something novice, something shoe, I think.
No, I think your thing was it 50th podcast episode, Sailors Hit the Commode,
yeah.
Red Sky at the Morning...
Podcasters in mourning
because
somebody died, I guess. I hope nobody dies.
Well, that's the red sky. That's the red sky.
But we could.
The red sky of podcasting.
We need to sacrifice somebody to the gods of podcasting. May I suggest Jose Feliciano?
Oh.
All right.
The surprisingly quiet music superstar.
You would think that he would just burst into song. Or just say something.
Or
like,
instrument,
hey,
depending on what he does.
I'm Jose Feliciano, and I'm here and I'm trying to think, but he just sits back there silently. That's why we're acting like he's not even here. F that guy. F you, Jose Feliciano.
That's but what the F in Feliciano is for. Jose F you, Feliciano.
In the meantime, we will be back in 2 weeks with episode 38 of I'm Trying to Think, and then in like, I don't know, 37 weeks with episode 50.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not counting exactly, but it's something around there.
Counting's for suckers.
Counting is for suckers. So, you could say bye to everybody there, Dave.
See ya, folks.
Bye-bye.